Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
All right, let's talk rock and roll, shall we? It's Wendy Snyder in for John Williams. And you take a couple of friends in the 70s, Mark Plotnick and Jim Samaria. They both join us today, and so you guys went to all these concerts, and then you said, hey, let's team up and write a book, and now this is your second one, 70s Chicagoland Rock Concerts. We're going to talk rock and roll history here in Chicago. First of all, hi, Jim, and hello to you, Mark.
Hello, Wendy.
Hey, Wendy. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Well, you know me. I loved your first book.
Yes. Yeah. You had us in the studio with Bill about, I think it was about 6 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you're back in action. And both of your books now are part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum's Library and Archives Collection in Ohio. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And they had us out there as VIP guests, and it was really cool, that's for sure.
Excellent. All right, I have to read this text, 312. I'm friends with Jim Samaria, your guest, at 11:30. We went to high school together and played softball for many years. One of our early teams was sponsored by Flipside Records, where Jim works. He was a great photographer, also had access to concert tickets. We saw Dave Mason, The Love and Spoonful, and Jefferson Starship, to name a few. All compliments of Flipside.
Wait, he said I was a great photographer?
You still are, and you
okay,
are.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
All right, so that's Jim. Mark, you have a first concert story for us. Both of you do, don't you?
Yes. Well, I was 18 years old, and it was the first time my parents said, all right, we're going to trust you. Go out to the Aragon Ballroom. So I got on the bus, and I went to the Aragon Ballroom. It was the Jefferson Airplane.
Ooh.
And I had, there were smells in the Aragon that I was not familiar with. People laying around on the floor, you know, people shouting Seed at the Underground. People from that period will remember the Seed. It was an underground newspaper. And it was hot as, it was just terribly hot inside. And I remember the airplane came out and Grace Slick came out with a see-through sort of a macrame sweater. And I thought, man, I'm liking these rock concerts. I got to come to a few more of these.
And you went by yourself and took the bus.
I took the bus, and, you know, as time passes on, memory gets hazy. I believe I was with a friend.
Oh, okay.
But I just remember coming home very late, and my mom and dad were not happy because, you know, it was past curfew, I think. So.
Yeah, well, of course. But when you rely on public transportation, that happens sometimes, you know.
Oh, it does. It does. Well, that's how I got around in my early days in Rogers Park, Chicago.
Okay, and Jim, do you have a first concert story? I know you have many, and that's why we're going to talk about this book, too.
Well, yeah, I was very lucky. My sister took me to my first one, 1966. I was 13, and it was at the amphitheater. It was called the Dick Clark World's Fair, so I saw the Turtles, the Young Rascals, Mitch Ryder and Detroit Wheels, and the Gentrys, and I had my picture taken with the Gentrys afterwards, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the next year I saw the Monkees. They were at the stadium, so that was 67. But then I really started getting into it in 71 when I saw Black Sabbath at the auditorium with my friend Mark and another Mark and Gary. And then I just remember how loud it was, and there was Ozzy and there was Sabbath, and it was just so cool.
I was talking to Bob Surratt about this earlier, and you really do remember music for the times in your life. Now, Jim, what was the first concert you ever photographed? Who was the first artist?
Well, it all started with the Stones in 72. I had 10th row center seats, and I brought my Kodak Instamatic with a little flash cube, if everyone remembers those.
Oh, yeah.
And I took the 12 pictures on the roll, and only one picture came out good. And when I say good, it was blurry as heck, but it made me excited. And I started taking more pictures with my Instamatic, and the photo store I was going to, they said, you should buy a 35-millimeter camera, and you'll get better pictures. So I went to Sears, where else did you go, bought a camera, and I started bringing that to the concerts, because you were allowed to bring cameras in back in those days. I snuck on the main floor of Led Zeppelin, got some really good shots. That was in 73. I brought them to Flipside Records in Arlington Heights. Asked him, you want to put these on the wall? I did that for a couple more concerts. Then Rich Carlson, who was the manager, said, would you like to be our official photographer? So I was 19 years old. He ran it by Larry and Carl Rosenbaum, if I could be their official photographer. And all of a sudden, instead of buying tickets for Sabbath, I'm meeting Black Sabbath and getting backstage and shooting pictures. So I've been doing it since 73.
This is a dream job, you know, 19 years old, and you get to go backstage and photograph these people. And Mark, were you, you know, grabbing onto his coattails?
Well, you know, Jim and I met. Jim, was it 1970s when we first met?
Yeah.
So I wasn't around when Jim was doing all this, although I might have crossed paths with Jim because the flip side on Forestry Avenue was my go-to place to get rock and roll tickets. And those were the days, Wendy, when, you know, you could stand in line, you could be 10th in line, and you could get second row. Well, you know, those days are long gone. But, yeah, I might have run into Jim somewhere along the line.
All right. Now, I am a little younger than you guys, but a lot of shows, Auditorium Theater, the International Amphitheater, Erie Crown Theater, Kinetic Playground in Chicago, Beginnings in Schaumburg. These are all bringing us back in time a little bit. And Bob Surratt this morning said he saw Elvis in Chicago. And I'm sorry, I didn't realize Elvis was in Chicago a few times, huh?
Yeah, he came in. He's in the book. I photographed him in 77, and the concert was just unbelievable. It's probably the loudest I ever heard an ovation for someone walking on stage. So if you could imagine, you know, a dark stage and whatever that song they were playing, like a Star Wars type song. Obviously, it wasn't Star Wars, but and
oh, the 2001 Space Odyssey.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here he comes in his big white jumpsuit. And the spotlight hits him, and he looks great, and the crowd just erupted. And I'm right there, right in front, taking pictures. I'm saying to myself, I can't believe I'm photographing Elvis Presley's right here, you know. And we exchanged numbers and hung out for a while, but that's a joke.
You know what? I honestly didn't know if that was a joke, because Elvis seems like he could be someone who might be like, hey, yeah, let me take a look at that picture. I don't like that side. all right, so that's a great Elvis story. Mark, give me one of your favorite stories from one of the shows. God, there were so many people. And what's the? I am going to interrupt my own question to you. So Zeppelin played Chicago, but then Zeppelin was supposed to come back to Chicago, but unfortunately Bonzo died. But they had played before, correct?
Oh, yeah. They played every other year just about. I photographed them in 73, 5, and 7, and then 79 or 80. I can't remember the exact date. That's when Bonham died, and they had to cancel the show.
Yeah, I have a ticket from that particular concert that I got from someone. They had framed it and put it together because no one needed to use the tickets.
Yeah, my friend Mike Deem did those.
Oh.
He bought all the tickets from the stadium.
Yeah.
And they put them into these nice posters and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now back to you, Mark. What's a memorable show for you? Jim told us about Elvis. Give us one that you really loved.
Sure. Well, it was, I think it was November 1970. It was the Auditorium Theater, which, by the way, seeing a rock concert at the Auditorium, for a long time, the Auditorium did not allow those kinds of concerts. And it was such a grand venue, and the acoustics were excellent. And I had come to see Derek and the Dominoes with Eric Clapton. Dwayne Allman had other engagements with the Allman Brothers, so he wasn't touring. But Eric Clapton is my idol in terms of guitar players. And but before he came out on stage with the band, there was this guy who came out with two other musicians. He sat down at the piano. Nobody knew who he was. And he brought the house down before Clapton came out. And it turned out it was Elton John. He was opening for Clapton on the Derek and the Dominoes tour. And he blew everybody away because nobody had ever seen a piano player, you know, outside of a Jerry Lee Lewis type person play piano like that. And those were the days when, you know, he was not wearing costumes. He just looked like a regular rock and roll guy. And it was such a memory. And then, you know, Derek and the Dominoes and those came out, and Eric Clapton just, you know, was Eric Clapton in those days. He was God. And that I can still remember the songs and the moments from that concert.
That is incredible. We're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. And the name of this book, 70s Chicagoland Rock Concerts. Where's the best place to send people to pick up this book? It would make a great stocking stuffer.
Oh, I agree. Well, a lot of places, of course. Amazon is a good place. It's also at the Arcata and Des Plaines Theater and their Rockstock stores. Vale's Hallas in Oak Park. Let's see, Black Circle Records up in Lake Geneva, Rolling Stones Records in Norwich, Blue Village Vinyl out in Westmont. It's at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum down in Joliet, Barnes & Noble, Barber's Bookstores. And if you're at the airport, it's at Hudson's Gifts and News.
That's
in Terminal 1.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I will be at the Arcata Theater on Sunday night because my son's band, The Vaughn Building, will be opening up for Rick Nielsen and his sons, the Nielsen Family Trust, and tickets are still available at oshows.com. So I'm going to pick up a book.
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right. I'll
look. You know what, Wendy? Hanukkah, you know, we give 8 days of gifts. So buy one book for each day of Hanukkah.
And then hopefully you have 8 friends to give them to. Wendy Snyder here with you, and we are talking 70s concerts in Chicago with Jim Samaria, Mark Plotnick, and I need to tell you my first shows. Very tail end of the 70s. I can't remember. It's one of these three was my first show. Isn't this terrible? I don't remember. It was either the Go-Go's, Supertramp, or ZZ Top and the Outlaws. And I got to be honest with you, I think it was the Outlaws opening for ZZ Top, and that was my very first show.
So, and I was at that show.
Really? All right.
Yes, and it was a great show. Yes.
All right. I am looking at just some amazing photos. This book has all these fabulous rock and roll photos and little stories about people. There's a great picture. Humble Pie, talk to me about this.
Well, Humble Pie was led by Steve Marriott. Peter Frampton started in that group, but he, you know, he broke away and he did okay on his own, I'd say. Wouldn't you say, Mark?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I would say Humble Pie was possibly, I'd say, in the top 5 best entertaining bands I ever saw. They just put on such a great show, and it's just straight up blues rock. And Marriott was just one of the best showmen out there, as far as I was concerned.
Golden Earring. Oh my God, these are just such great bands and photos.
Yeah, Golden Earring was very good. The guitarist just died. What's his name? Mark George Koremans.
Koremans.
Koremans, okay.
Yeah, they're Dutch. It's a little hard to pronounce sometimes.
Yeah, and they were very good. I mean, he was a great guitarist, and, you know, they had the couple songs, Radar Love, and what was the other one, Mark? Radar Love and...
Twilight Zone.
And, you know, Radar Love was actually very famous. One of the space shuttles used it as a wake-up song. They're one of their songs made it to outer space.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Well, I think, and Mark, isn't it true that they were the longest running band with the original members?
Actually, you know what? There's a lot of debate, Jim, about that. They were the second longest continuously running band with the original members. ZZ Top was first, but it's possible now that, you know, someone else has kind of broken that record. But they were 1 and 2 with ZZ Top.
Yeah.
God, I just want to go have a beer with you guys and just listen to you. Like, it's like a ping pong game going back and forth with all this trivia. A great picture of Joe Walsh. I love my Joe Walsh. Tell us about... Here's a band that I absolutely loved in high school. I never got to see them live. The Jay Giles Band. Peter Wolf fronted that band with the singing, and Jay Giles, of course, in the band. Tell us something about that.
Mark, you want to take that?
Sure. Several of the guys in the band, I believe, were Jewish. They were kind of called, weren't they called the Jewish Rolling Stones?
Yes, they were. Everyone but Jay Giles, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the most overlooked people in that band was their harmonica player, and I guess I could see on his hair because...
I'll say his name. Magic Dick was his name.
Yes, there. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you. It's your show, so I didn't want to say anything. They said when he played harmonica, it was on the obscene side. He was that good, and... Peter Wolf, he was quite a showman. Jim, I mean, you photographed him, you saw him. He was sort of like a cross between a vaudevillian guy and a gangster, and he was just, he was something else on stage.
Yeah, he's in the team picture with Humble Pie, the band, Jay Giles. Very entertaining, especially their early stuff. It was just straight up rock and roll, and just a phenomenal band. I got to see them several times. Great band.
I'm a little proud of myself because it's Dick Solwitz. That was his name.
Correct,
and
correct.
Whammer Jammer is a song that he's featured on a live Jay Giles album, and it's unbelievably great harmonica playing. I wish I had you all day because there's, Marshall Tucker Band, Doobie Brothers, Heart, Todd Rundgren, yeah. Frank Zappa. Tell us about Frank Zappa in Chicago.
Well, that one exactly was shot at Northern Illinois University.
DeKalb?
Up in DeKalb. And, Zappa was, everyone, if you follow music, everyone knows that Zappa was out there. Musically and thinking, just a genius, a musical genius. And his music at that time was Overnight Sensation and Apostrophe albums. And just great songs, humorous, but just a genius in what he was doing. And
yeah.
There's a great documentary on him right now that his son put together. And I tell everyone they should see that and learn more about Frank Zappa.
He was one of the most intelligent and witty members of the rock and roll community, and even as he was in his last months of his life because of cancer, he was still very witty, and he had a great sense of humor, and it was sad when he died, but he was a tough band leader, Wendy. He demanded perfection from a lot of famous musicians went in and out of his band, and he was also a fixture in Laurel Vale, Laurel Canyon.
I saw Dweezil Zappa at the Arcata Theater, and he did a lot of his father's music, and it was great. It was really an amazing show. 773, Wendy, I just bought the book on Amazon. I was looking for good reading material for our cruise coming up over the Christmas break. So, listeners, you can follow suit. I wish I had more time with you guys. Photographer extraordinaire Jim Samaria, Mark Plotnick. You were on the Oprah show, Mark, real quickly.
Yeah, real quickly, I was in between jobs. One of my best friends was sort of an expert in off-price shopping. He said, "You're a writer. Let's write a book." I sent out PR releases all over Chicago. Oprah had us on. I put Air Jordans on Oprah's feet, and I just quickly, that appearance changed my professional life.
I bet.
I was able to weasel my way into all kinds of interesting corporate jobs. And I have to thank to this day Oprah. She changed my professional career before Jim pulled me out of retirement to start doing rock and roll books.
Well, these books are fantastic, you guys. Classic rock, photographs from yesterday and today, and the new book, 70s Chicagoland Rock Concerts. Just Google them and purchase them for Christmas or Hanukkah. Right, Mark?
Oh, beautiful. eight days.
So buy eight of them. Jim, is there a website for people to follow you guys?
My website is jimsumariaphoto.com.
jimsumariaphoto.com. And Mark, do you have a website?
I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Blue Sky. You can find us there. And we also have a podcast from the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum that airs every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And it's called That Rock Show with Jim and Mark.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, have a great holiday season. And I'm going to pick up that book at the Arcata when I'm there on Sunday.
I'll see you there next week.
All right. Thank you so much. And again, 70s rock and roll, your first concerts. We can continue talking about that.